Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, you just missed a really good gag, listeners.
I did a Lord joke.
Yeah.
So crazy we still look... Like, she's backing out... She's such a prominent artist in my life in terms of, like...
Seeing her at Coco's Cantina.
And just, like, I guess, always around... Like, she was... my 20s, you know, she was there in my 20s, and now she's there in my 30s, you know. Yeah. But I would say I'm like a ginormous stan.
I went through the start of this year when there were rumors about the new album. I really went back into Melodrama and I was like, this is a sick album. It is a sick
album.
They
love it as well. Gen Z love it.
They love it? Oh, Gen Z.
Yeah.
They love it.
I'm not. I truly do not identify as Gen Z at all.
And that's because you aren't, and you are approximately 12 years off.
There's this trend on TikTok at the moment where people are like, you feel old? I was born in 2001.
Ugh.
And like, oh, that's old? I was born in 1998. And I was like, oh my God, keep going. 1990. But I still feel that feels young.
Well, the latest Lorde song is about getting older. And she's 24. I'm like,
is she 24?
Yeah.
Like, is she 24?
Yeah.
Why are we listening to, like, support the artist, but why are we listening to her for, like, emotional
I don't know.
Advice?
Her newsletters are the
does
most...
she have a newsletter?
With every release she has, she writes a little newsletter that's like, I was driving through the back alleys of New Zealand eating a pie, and then the next week I was in Los Angeles in a tour bus eating cheese. I don't know. Yeah, I can't.
Mainly eating on in certain
a locations. Lot of it is about the food, and a lot of it is about the difference between her two lives, Aotearoa and Los Angeles, flying in between.
I don't want to hear from 24-year-olds.
As a rule, I'd rather hear from 16-year-olds than 24-year-olds.
Same.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, you might be like Mozart or something, but at 24, you're just, I don't know. That being said, like, I'm pretty sure Lontarius is like 25.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy to hear from Lont.
Yeah.
And I will call him Lont as well. I don't know. Let's play the theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's for me, okay.
Dad, get out.
Dad, stop.
Dad, we're doing our podcast. Our dad's in the office.
He left. He's about to take.
He's like, he's about to take the dog for a walk, and now he's looking for a bill to pay.
And or he a leash. Never found it, so he's never going to pay it, and he'll go to jail.
Oh, I love that our producer is a dad.
I did something criminal the other day.
Yeah, what was that?
Okay.
Should I dial 111?
No, but you might not want to be friends with me afterwards. The way I went after it happened, I was like, that was terrible what I just did.
Is it
but
like,
also, I feel like...
Is it like bad self-behavior, or is it like it affected someone else?
An accident which affected someone else, I don't know if there was a right decision to make.
Does it affect me?
No.
Okay,
No, it affects a stranger. Okay. So I made a bad mistake. I took a plain white towel to the gym.
Is that bad?
You'll see why.
Oh, my God.
And then I used the sorter at Les Mills, and there's like... hooks to hang your towels on, hang it up.
What's the sauna culture at Les Mills like?
I would say there's a mixture of like rich bros who are talking about how much money they're making on Bitcoin.
Wow.
And lots of property investors talking about the properties they're renting out. And also just truly gay men who are like, I'm going to sit here until someone fucks me.
Is it actually like that though?
A couple of times recently... because I wasn't going to the one that I go to now, which is definitely the gayest one. My PT was at a different one, and I was like, it just felt like a normal. And maybe it's still a normal gym, but I think there's a culture of this gym that has existed for 35 years where
this is Les Mills
Auckland City.
Auckland City.
I didn't know. For some reason, naming it feels like now I'll get in real trouble. Anyway.
They're like, you get a meeting with Les Mills themselves.
Liz. And Les has got a son called Les. Did you know that?
Les has a son called Les
and
Jr.
And Alice Nitta knows Les Jr.
Wow.
Anyway.
Rich. White. Rich.
Sat in the sauna, then went out, grabbed the white towel, showered, dried myself off. As I'm leaving the shower, having dried myself off, I look down and someone has written like a big letter A on the tag of the towel, and I've taken someone else's towel.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I've just rubbed this all over my body.
Yeah.
If I was to put it back and get my original towel, no. That's a terrible thing to do. So what I did was I just like left, assumed they would automatically see my towel, the only white towel left there, grab it and go.
This is an awful situation.
I've got no idea what happened. They might have walked out being like, where's my towel with the special A written on it? And just had to like run around the gym being like,
oh my.
Anyone see my towel?
I'm not surprised that you did this.
Yeah.
This is like, just because of your inability to like clock
notice
things,
details. I couldn't name a single thing in the room we're in.
Eli's, yeah, you like, I was once in a lounge with Eli, the lounge that he lived in for
4 years.
4 years. And you're like, how long's that picture been there for? And everyone was like, since you moved in. And you had never noticed it before. So I can understand how this town situation happened, but it makes me die on the inside. One, out of frustration that it happened.
Yeah.
But also, oh my God, because you would have used the towel while working out, right?
No, just separate. I got a gym towel, then I got a shower towel.
Do they? Does A have that?
I would assume so.
If you're A and you're listening to the podcast right now, which odds are...
Could happen.
Please feel free to reach out.
You wouldn't work out with the same workout towel that you then would use to shower. Like this was like a shower sized towel. Both of them.
Like a bath sheet. Do you know when there's bath sheets and then there's towels?
No, what's the difference?
Okay, so when you buy towels sometimes, there's like you can have like a you've got a face cloth that's a small square.
Yeah.
Hand towel, oblong, bath towel, and then there's a bath sheet. Which is like huge and not like a bed, it doesn't look like a bed sheet, but it's like a big wide towel that's often used for the beach.
Yeah, and that's called a bath sheet, even though I would call that a beach towel.
Oh, but then there's beach towels, which is like made out of a different
bigger and
towel.
Fluffier. Yeah.
Oh my God, so when did this happen?
I would say maybe Friday or Saturday.
And you've just been sitting on that for a while now.
Yeah, and I haven't told anyone.
Have you gone back to the gym?
Oh, yeah.
You should. Oh, I was like, you should leave.
Well,
quit. Quit while you're ahead.
No one would have any idea.
You're going to see A again.
I know.
You're going to see A again.
So, A's going to kill me.
And have you thought about your strategy when you see A again? Because do you know who A is?
No idea.
But A was in the sauna.
There was like eight towels.
Who was in the sauna? Oh, there's. Okay, so there's.
I wasn't even clocking. I wouldn't even be able to tell you anyone who was in the sauna.
How is the sauna as big as this room?
Bigger. Maybe the size.
Oh my God. You need to, dare I say it, look up.
I know. Well, it's just hard to compare a non-sauna room to a sauna. But I guess, yeah, you could fit 10 people in the Les Mills sauna comfortably.
So it was packed.
Yeah.
A packed sauna. It's funny because I always thought the towel culture was sit on your towel.
In the sauna?
Yeah.
There's a mix.
Are you nude in the sauna?
No, underwear. But people are nude.
Yeah.
And if you're nude, you should sit on your towel.
Yeah. For your own hygiene.
For your own hygiene, yeah.
It's funny, do you prefer saying nude or naked?
Naked. You send nudes, you are naked in the nudes.
I send nakeds. I actually send nakeds.
Yeah, cool, awesome. Hey, sick naked, man. Thanks for sending me that.
Want to send me a naked? A naked snap. Nude is a sexier word, I guess.
It is.
But then a little kid could be in the nude. Or nudie Rudy.
Nudie Rudy, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But adults are very rarely nudie Rudy.
Yeah, and in fact that is a crime. <It's actually laughs> to be nudie Rudy after a
beyond 16
is a crime.
Oh my God.
Not quite at the level at what I did to A. But look, in my mind, I think the most likely scenario is that they went out, grabbed my towel automatically, and just left and probably don't even know that this happened.
No, they would have noticed. They put a big A on their towel for this exact reason.
Yeah.
And their worst nightmare has come true.
Yeah.
The thing that triggered them
to write
sparked
the A.
them to pull out a Vivit and put a humongous A on a perfectly good towel.
It was not a good towel. It was a shitty towel. And that's what makes
me. When did you realize I picked the wrong one?
Literally as I was leaving the shower, and then I looked and I saw my towel hanging, and I was like, you just got to walk. You just got to walk right out of here.
Kind of reminds me of when I went to Ben and Jerry's very drunk one time when I used to live down the road from it. And you can buy the, you know, you don't buy them. You get the free samples. And I was so drunk, my eye was like kind of hanging out of my head. And I scooped.
Oh, that drunk. Where your eyeball falls out of its socket.
You know, just sort of,
it sort of dangles out.
And I scooped a bit of like whatever it's called, chunky monkey or some shit, and ate it, drunk. And then I discarded my spoon in with all the clean spoons, not in the used spoon area. And it was like a stick, a popsicle stick with hundreds of other sticks. And the person behind the counter, it was like 2 a.m. I don't know why Ben & Jerry's was open at the time.
That's wild.
The chick behind the counter goes, oh, like as I put it in. And then we realize we'll never be able to find it again. Like it is lost.
It's gone.
And probably the right thing to do was take out all the. This is in a pre-COVID world, may I also say.
I was just going to ask, but I was like, I bet you haven't been that drunk post-COVID.
so attached. Fuck, actually, you know what? And fuck this. I'm going.
Why? Because I said you haven't been there drunk post COVID, and I don't.
I can drink.
I can
relax. I can have a good time.
You can, but you're not drunk on Ponsonby Road at 2 a.m. You haven't been. That has not been something you've
been. I
went
recently to Queenstown.
That is true.
And I often get quite drunk with my mum.
Epic, bro.
I actually probably had more to drink when I was out with my parents.
Really?
They fucking put it away.
Yeah, I bet.
I was at home with my mum and was like catching up, and we're going to go out for dinner. So we're waiting at home for dad to come back from work. And while we were waiting, we had 3 full glasses of wine. And then we walked to the restaurant and we were supposed to sit down and our table wasn't ready. So we're like, we'll just pop across the bar next door. And we had a full martini. Then we went to the restaurant and bought a bottle of wine to have.
Yeah, of course.
And then we drank the wine and maybe had one more glass. It was like 6-7 drinks. And one of those drinks was a martini.
A martini.
Which I'm actually really getting into.
Yeah, yummy.
I'm having a lot more cocktails because I'm actually midway through season 3 of Sex and the City right now.
You're getting into it.
Really getting into it. And I will say that the politics gets worse as it gets along, which sort of reinforces my theory that like, there was a sweet spot in pop culture where, like, we were very accepting of others. Mm. And as we slid into the noughties, we regressed. Like, the height of, like, Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera fame.
Yes,
so not them
yes,
up
yes,
and coming
yes,
in the
yes.
90s, but them just, like, circus. You know, them, like, dirty era. Like, was, like, the worst in terms of politics and pop culture,
yeah,
I feel
okay,
like.
Okay, worse than the 90s.
Well, I feel like early Sex and the City was very, like, sex positive and, like, they kind of were really writing. It wasn't like, I mean, there's so many parts of that show that are so flawed.
Yes.
But it was kind of interesting in terms of, like, I don't know. I was just like, oh, this is trying to do something interesting a little bit in terms of the conversations they're having and the amount of, like, sex and, like, how confident and they're not really ashamed of it. And then it sort of slides into season 3 and it's like, you know, these awful like episodes about Samantha having sex with a black man and how she feels about that, or like them wanting to have sex with a gay couple because of what, you know, and like lots of like bi erasure. And it's just like it doesn't need to be there, but it's just like symbol of the time, you know.
2000s was a toxic time. It was the time of promise rings coming in thick and fast,
which
and
is like
all pop stars.
When I think about it, it's
virgins.
Like when we were consuming pop culture the most as
yeah.
well. Like, and it's just kind of interesting because when you think about like the '70s and eighties, it's just like it was fab, you know,
and fancy free.
Yeah, I'm like studio, you know, like I don't know, yeah. just like you could really like live. There were lots of like kind of queer icons as well, and then we just slipped into this more and more like heteronormative. Like sort of slut shamey culture.
Yeah, it's funny when people come for like Lil Nas X for like explicit gay sexuality and songs, and I'm like, yeah, but do you remember the early 2000s when we made all these artists be like, tell us you're a virgin,
yes,
and then wear the tiniest bikini, and then come back and tell me that you've never had sex because you better not have had sex, otherwise you're not allowed to be a pop star. But also, these songs better be so horny.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. So big takeaways from Sex and the City. Yeah, I can't wait for the new one to come out. I'm deep 20. In a like. I'm a deep in a Sex in the City.
I might get into it next week. I'm in Wellington. My boyfriend is working all day every day, and I'm just kind of hanging out. So yeah. Maybe I'll just.
I've been doing like. You can just ramp through it and just have it on.
Yeah,
you can just have it on, and
you don't need to be like sitting down. Glued.
No, no. And then sometimes you'll just get caught by them saying something that like so problematic.
Mm.
And I just love to try and work out who these women are.
Have you watched The White Lotus?
No.
Oh my god,
what is that?
Well, it only dropped on Neon a few days ago, but oh, I was like, okay. You know what? I'm going to be ahead of the curve. I'm going to watch that. This tonight. So two episodes came out on Monday, and it is set in this Hawaiian hotel. It's done, written and directed by Mike White, who did Enlighten, the series with Laura Dern. That was kind of the start of Laura Dern's comeback. It's got Jennifer Coolidge in it. Eps, she's phenomenal.
Is she giving a comedy performance, or is she giving like a this girl could get an Emmy?
I think there's Emmy buzz, but it's also extremely funny. The show is a really dark comedy. It's like funny in the way that makes you uneasy all the time.
Love that.
It's just all these rich guests behaving
badly. There's so much
badly.
To watch, so much to invest in. I need to go out more like that. I think that's why I'm watching Sex in the City, because I like knowing that you can be in your 30s and like kind of out
still
every
go
night.
Out.
Whereas. Like, I just feel like, maybe it's because MasterChef's on at the moment. I'm just watching so much TV. Like, every night, it's like, sit in front of the TV, and it's just like, oh, my God. And I think Michael, like, cottoned onto it, and he's like, should we go out tonight? And I was like, yes. I think we should. Because
wow.
If I get into my pajamas at 6:30 again and sit in front of the TV until bedtime, I'm going to turn into a little raisin.
What do you do when you go out? Do you ever go out for a... Well, obviously...
We just go out for dinner. Like, yeah, it's nice. Often what we do. But I just feel alive even just, like, walking down K Road.
Yeah.
Like, I just like being around people and being like, oh, it's so good, you know?
We often, almost never in Auckland, but quite a bit in Wellington, we're like, should we just go out and get a couple of cocktails and then, like...
That's a very Wellington buzz.
Yeah.
Wellington's a great city just to have a couple of cocktails.
Cocktails.
I love having... And I, the other night, went out for dinner and I ordered a Cosmopolitan.
Of course.
From Two Watch Six in the City. Too sweet for me.
Yeah.
But fun to feel that kind of flirty energy. You know? I was just like... Cocktails are back on for me. Because they just... I don't like a big, like, frozen, like, whatever with, like, 100 berries. Every berry you can
so
imagine.
So many pieces of fruit on top of it.
No, I want just like a kind of, I've had a divorce cocktail.
Yeah,
that's the kind of divorce I want. cocktail I want. It's kind of like, whoa, he's really leaning into it.
When I was in Queenstown at Ferg Bar, I had a chocolate-infused Negroni, and I can't stop thinking about it, but I'm also like, was it good, or had I just had 10 beers and then had that?
Which is the situation. It makes me want to... Like, instantly run to the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, and shit. But can we talk about the Ferg Empire?
It's
crazy.
Huge.
It was like, you've got to go to Ferg Bakery. And I was like, you know what? Actually, I remember when Ferg's was just doing burgers and they can just stay in their lane.
This last time was actually the first time I've had the burger, because they've been doing the bakery for a long time. And whenever I've gone, people have been like, insider tip, the bakery's better than the burgers and there's no queues. And so I've always had the Ferg pies, which are awesome. I had the burger.
Do you reckon the hype is just because people are fucking hungry because they've been on the slopes all day and then they have a burger and they're like, this rocks.
And then it's massive.
Yeah, it's like, I truly don't, I mean, I guess I am coming for Ferg. Whoever, Fergus?
Yeah.
Did he climb a mountain?
Who knows?
Who actually knows?
It was like their 25th or 30th anniversary though recently, and they were giving out free burgers.
Well, okay.
So that's cool. That's actually cool.
That's charity. We appreciate that.
That's cool.
Do you have a fact of the gay?
Yeah, but I just got to absolutely Google
Find it.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to Google
it
no less. Okay, well, while we're doing that, just take a wee moment to let you know what's going on. Eli has a show coming up next week. It's actually
tomorrow.
Okay,
it could even be tonight, depending on when you
listen
to
this. So if you're actually listening to this, if it came out, when is it? What's the date?
It's the 20th. It's the 22nd.
So it's the 22nd.
So my show is 23rd, 24th.
You look at your fact and I'll do the plug.
Yeah.
23rd, 24th. It's an award-winning show about... lots of amazing things, but specifically Eli's relationship with him and his father. And if you're a fan of the podcast, you're gonna love the stand-up show. It made me scream with laughter. Me and my boyfriend went along, fiance, and oh god, we just laughed and we laughed so loudly.
Nice.
We had a great time.
You know, because that's the night I've got filmed, I haven't ever watched the whole thing, but I'm like, oh, there's my friends.
Yep,
can hear you laughing.
And then I'm going to New Plymouth. Taranaki yes. area, so New Plymouth, and then Wakura on Thursday and Friday next week. And then Gays in Space, that's actually taking off in Wellington.
Wow.
That's me, Tom Sainsbury, Zeke Agnett, Blaze. I just don't know what Blaze's last name is.
Blaze Clotworthy.
Clotworthy. And Daryl Wright.
He uses Zach and I, he uses Zeke Agnett.
And that'll be taking off at Bats Theatre. Check that one out, Gays in Space. I feel like I'm a like local community rate.
You come in and do the good guide for 5 minutes every Thursday.
Here you go. We've got Pammy singing the songs of the 70s at Brian's Hops Bar and Grill. And then on Thursday night, you've got Toddlers in Tiaras.
Oh, God. It was like, Ryan, please stop mentioning Toddlers in Tiaras. We don't actually want our listeners to
And
know
on
that.
Monday, it is Twink's Got Talent. Twink's Got Talent.
Twink's Got Talent.
I would love Twink's Got Talent. And I'll tell you what. Twinks do got talent.
Twinks do got
I know
big
so
talent.
Many talented twinks. And out of any kind of gay subculture, white cis gay subculture usually as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It would be the twinks that take it out.
Because they put the if because they're like, wow, we're going out tonight and I want to do doof, 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 doof.
But doof, they can all doof, do musical theatre.
I'm going to learn to do the splits. I got my friend Zara to show me the stretches that I need to do daily. To
why?
Do. I just think it'd be funny, maybe to do it in a stand-up joke. And also, I don't know, I just want to know what it feels like. And also, and mainly because Angela Dravid was
why don't
like,
you learn how to pick up the right towel? Why don't you learn to look around you? You don't need to learn the splits. As someone who did ballet as a child,
yeah,
and the end of each ballet session was like stretch class,
yeah,
the splits is like the most... useless. It's just for show. But yeah. That's what you want it for.
I want
to
show
There's
off.
Better stretches you can do. Can you stand and touch your toes?
Yeah. Oh, I'm quite flexible.
I'm always shocked at the amount of people that aren't flexible in my, like when I work out because we do like big group training and there's always stretch at the end. And I can do that one where, you know, like my, I've got very flexible hip flexors.
Me too.
So I can do that one where you like, you know, bend it back and then like my back's on the floor.
Yeah, wow.
Which feels good to show off in front of other people. Like I just started doing some more yoga.
I can sit with my knees like touching the ground, like out to the side.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow. And
Miranda Harker was, I didn't actually reach out to Miranda Harker. We're all just sitting here. She's talking about Thomas and McKenzie, obviously. And then she kind of like, yeah, she stopped the discussion. She was like, wait, what is going on with your hip? I was like, this is just how I sit. Anyway.
Incredible, like we just that was an incredible riff,
yeah,
of good guides into how flexible we are.
Flexible we are.
All right, and Eli's coming in with the
how flexible we are.
Gay.
So, I wanted to find out what the first video game to have LGBT themes
of course
was.
You did, you fucking nerd.
I am a big geek, and
Croc,
great answer, yeah. Croc.
What was Croc's noise?
Yo!
Or yeah. Like, ow!
The first video game I had was called Pop, and or called I Am Pop, and then you would type in, like, can Pop hum? And if Pop could hum, then Pop would hum. And it was kind of like a big purple ball.
Can Pop come? Pop hasn't been able to come
for a long time now. For a long time.
You can try and make Pop come, but Pop...
You'll get tired. Caper in the Castro is a murder mystery video game developed by C.M. Ralph and released in 1989. So she was working in Silicon Valley and just like worked on this video game on the side because presumably she's queer. I don't actually know anything about her, but it's a single player like detective game.
Ooh.
You play a lesbian private detective called Tracker McDyke.
Whoa.
Who must find her kidnapped friend and drag queen, Tessie LaFemme.
What?
So her drag queen friend has gone missing. You're in San Francisco.
We've got to play it.
Yeah, in the neighborhood, in the Castro. And she made it as like charity wear, so you didn't have to pay to buy the game. But when you go into the game, it says, please donate to an AIDS charity. And it kind of like...
Wow!
AIDS is part of the storyline. It came out in 1989.
What device do you play on?
Well, I found it just before because if you search this Caper on the Castro on Wikipedia,
Caper on the Castro,
Caper in the Castro,
Caper like a
cape, like a crime caper, like a Muppets The Great Muppet Caper.
In the Kestra.
That's the one with Miss Piggy goes missing.
Wow.
Yeah, you can find, basically, and that's really interesting. So she also made a straight version of this to, like, well, just, like, took out all the LGBT and sold it to a game company to make some money off it. But the original version was this gay one, and then they thought it was missing. They had lost all floppy disks, so even though it was the first, like, known game with LGBT themes, and they couldn't find it, and then they found it, and now you can play it online. They've put it on, if you go into the Wikipedia, it's got a little link. And I played it for, like, 2 minutes before I came here, but then I went up some creepy stairs, and then it comes up with a gravestone that says, "Here lies a useless private detective." So, and then I was
crazy.
Like, wow, tough game.
We had a PlayStation 1. My sister won it at a school like competition.
Sick prize.
It was crazy. The buzz in the Parker family house.
Yeah.
When it's amazing when you're a kid and like the big news wasn't like what's going on in pop culture, it's just like what's going on with your siblings.
Yeah,
so totally. I came home with my mum and we're around the dinner table. Mum's like, "You're not gonna believe it. Liv has won a PlayStation 1." And I was like, it was insane. The house ballistic. Like, suddenly we had a PlayStation 1 like in the mix.
Wild. Because we used to hire PlayStations when we didn't have, like, because you could actually hire the machine. Well,
we were just waiting for one of the kids to win one. And we had a
one
of these kids is going to win something. And we had a demo disc.
Yes.
We had Abe's Odyssey.
Good game.
And I think Croc. And like two others, and you could play them for, I don't know, a couple of levels, and you just replay the levels.
Yeah.
We would never buy a game. We just stick on that demo disc.
Like a cardboard sleeve?
Yeah. Just like chuck on that demo disc, let's go wild.
Yeah, sick. I famously, my friends bought me a PlayStation for my 12th birthday.
Wow.
They all, like,
How much was that? That is incredible.
I know. I guess I invited like 18 people. We did Laser Strike, and then we had Ice Cream Sundays at my house. All went in and put in some cash and got me a PS1.
It doesn't get really better than that.
Yeah, with MTV Snowboarding, which was a sick game.
I remember the GoldenEye, like 007 shooting game,
which
I was never really allowed to play, but I was allowed to watch my brother play it.
It's full on.
Which was, I would say, like 30% of my childhood was just watching my siblings play games.
And the generation of your brother... GoldenEye, the video game, is so important to them.
And like baseball cards.
Yeah.
Just massive.
Yeah.
I have an interesting relationship with like that era of things in like straight culture, like straight boy culture, because he was like in the room next to me. So I kind of got like the lingering like hangovers from it. Like I know a surprising amount of like DMX or Ja Rule. Because he would play it every night before I would go to bed. So I'd go to bed at like 8 o'clock.
Ja Rule.
And then he would play like the DMX CD loudly in his room. And probably masturbate if you think about it. Like he was like 15.
Kind of right. Yeah, of course.
And I would just like sit in bed like trying to sleep and like think about the shows that I'm putting on and listen to DMX.
Wow.
And Ja Rule. Ja Rule make you lose your mind up in here. It's just like there. It's so,
wow.
And like the smell of Lynx Africa, and it's just permeate through. Because we had like a door that connected our rooms together, because it was the only way you used to be able to get through his room. Otherwise, he had to go around and go through the good room, which should have been the way to do it, because otherwise, he had to go through my room to get to his room.
I wouldn't be able to tell you a single DMX song, and I would only be able to tell you the Ja Rule songs that are with either Ashanti or Jennifer Lopez.
I probably couldn't tell you a DMX song either.
But if
you played it, I'd be able to make the noises that would go along.
Because
I kind of have a disease where I can't remember song lyrics.
Yeah. What was your first album?
Good Charlotte.
That's cool.
Because other people liked it. I didn't have a taste in music.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to have. So I bought a CD collection the other day because we still have it. And it was mainly... sound effects CDs.
And how would you use that?
Like, I don't know why I was buying 99 sound effects. I was just like, that seems like a good thing for me to own.
Your brother's listening to DMX masturbating. You've just got your 99 sound effects playing masturbating.
A creaky door. like, I think I'd like play like the farts and just like laugh. Like, it screams identity crisis.
Yeah.
And then I had a CD that I got from a trip to Brisbane where I heard a clarinet ensemble play. And I was like, these guys are fantastic. And I'm bought this CD. Good Charlotte. And then a lot of like chill. Like a lot of just like chill music.
Yeah.
Like that's what I call chill.
Gorgeous.
Which also screams like
a maniac.
I need to chill out.
I'm an 11-year-old.
What 12-year-old needs to chill? And so why is my mum just like, yeah, go on? Like,
did that have, if you're fond of sand dunes and so the
air. No. A little bit of the- Again, I wouldn't know any of the songs because I can't hear song lyrics. I have watched 36 episodes of MasterChef. I cannot work out the theme song.
What is the theme song?
Burning up in my heart like a flame, like a burning shooting star. Here I am. It's like, in your right, I've been saying you and I. It's like, I cannot work. We got today, so burn it up and show me the way. It's like,
wow,
back to burning up. It's so nonsensical and I can't work it out.
I don't think I've ever even noticed the themes. I didn't know that it had a theme.
But
like
that being said, Michael, who can listen to a song once and then know all the words,
all the lyrics, wow,
cannot work that one out either.
Wild.
So if you are watching MasterChef and you're having the same issue that I'm having, like, please reach out.
I want to know the system of, like, you know, this show is like selling.
I feel so sorry for the listener who just had to listen to me.
Yeah, I've been burning for you.
And I reckon I sung that in the key. Like, wow. That's how much I can, like, hear that theme song.
Amazing. We had a tech malfunction.
And I'm going to say, as an amazing arc to this episode, you cottoned onto it lightning quick.
I saw it happen.
So maybe, you know, your senses
are improving. Maybe the towel thing was just what I needed to really kick me into shape.
You noticed that there was a technical error and immediately we were like, here we go.
Oh, and in the break, and we've been on what I would describe as a break for about half an hour.
Eli's got a coffee now.
Yeah.
I had a bit of phone time.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
I played Eli the theme song of MasterChef.
And that was amazing. And what was amazing was how close Chris's version was to the
pretty
song.
Pretty close,
I played.
Right?
But the production around it was really different.
Do you reckon I was in the same key?
Yeah. You were, but weird that it's for a cooking show, there's so much talk about burning.
True.
In the same song.
I loved Ready, Steady, Cook.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I think bring that one back.
That one was so much fun. Fun for the whole family.
And I would love to see Ready, Steady, Cook in all sorts of different ways, not just food.
Like Ready, Steady, Art.
Exactly.
Ready, Steady, Drama.
Just like, because what Ready, Steady, Cook
Ready,
was,
Steady,
was
rugby.
Like, you got a capsicum, you got a jug of milk, you got some cheese, mm-hmm. bread, figure it out. What are you going to cook? That's how it worked, right?
And
they'd be like, okay, it's like basically the mystery box challenge with MasterChef.
The teams were tomato and cucumber, right? Or tomato and lettuce, maybe? And then you'd hold up your sign. Yeah. The students
what, you, or what meal? And it had to be like a three-course meal, I think. But I would love to see that with different things.
When I was like 18, me and my friends did it and filmed ourselves doing it. And how we did it, was this a rule on the show? We picked one letter from the alphabet. So we picked P. We could only shop for things with our $20 that started with P, but then you've also got access to the pantry.
Because pantry begins with P.
No. Just because the
and you
the
use pipes so the water comes through and no, I hear you.
Yeah.
I think initially it was always the ingredients, and then and maybe there's a spin on the show.
A spin with like the letter.
If they're like, this fruit it up a little bit. Or maybe they're like, you'll notice these ingredients all begin with a letter, T.
And what happened to that woman with the blonde curly hair? She's all over our screens at that time.
Well, she died. No, I have no idea who you're talking about. Blonde curly hair, Trillies Cooper. Curly hair. So many people have.
Do you remember Trini and Susanna?
Yes. Yeah. Toxic, actually.
Yeah, really bad.
And part of that noughties era of kind of revolting body image shit.
Really, really mean.
I saw their book in a secondhand shop in Northland, and it was honestly so confronting. I cannot believe people were talking to women like that.
Yeah.
It was like, it went through all the body shapes. And it would be like, this is what you got if you're this body shape. So it'd be like, you're an apple, you're a pear. Yeah. One of them, there's an apple, pear, clock tower.
Like, clock tower?
You know, like tall and lean.
Tall, lean, with one of them, dangly.
A brick.
Really?
And that's the word they used.
A brick.
They're like broad shoulders, wide ass. Like, it was crazy. Oh. And I was just like, how to style if your body's a brick?
Wow.
Oh my god,
they didn't help anyone.
How to sell yourself if you're a toxic Trinian.
What about Gokwan? What about
oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, what was that called? How to look good naked.
How to take a sexy naked selfie.
Yeah,
I would love to, back to the Ready Steady Cook idea, because I feel like there's something in this.
Yeah,
like you could do it with like a hammer, some, like you could easily do it the DIY version.
Room Reno.
You've just
got a hacksaw.
Yeah, exactly. You've got a room reno and you've got like a bunch of tat. It's like a makeover challenge.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know
how. The unusual materials.
A couple of words, you make a tweet.
8 out of 10 cats starts countdown. That's what that is.
Is that what that is?
Well, kind of. You know, where you get the letters and you've got to make the word. God, I love looking at scrambled letters
and figuring out a word. I hate that.
I love it.
I like to look at a bunch of. Well, I like a. Word finder? What do you call those? Crossword.
Oh yeah, yeah. Word? What about the one? What about the one that's a wheel and you've got and there's one missing letter?
You're smart, Cookie.
I'm an English degree,
and it shows.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank it really you so shows. Much. Especially when I said I am an English degree.
I am English degree.
Do you have a queen of the week? I feel like we took a break and we came back in with energy that is like unlistenable.
I would say me singing the MasterChef theme song at the top of my range. Like I quite confidently came into it. It was pretty unlistenable.
I thought it sounded good.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I would say Queen of the Week would be, all I can think is who's not the Queen of the Week. Mm. So through a process of elimination, you know, it's a hard one, but maybe Chloe Swarbrick again. I mean, I'm just looking at an image of her now, but I watched that clip of her fighting Mark Richardson.
Mark Richardson, really good stuff.
I love this idea of rental WAFs. I think it's fun.
I think it's awesome.
I just love teasing and bullying people who own houses.
Yeah.
Making them jump through hoops. And they're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay like $200 for a rental WAF once every 2 years. I'm like, you literally can afford that.
It's like if you've been playing Sims with the Rosebud cheat and it's the only way you know how. And then someone's like,
what is
like,
the Rosebud cheat?
You use it and you get 1,000 simoleon dollars. So if you just keep typing in Rosebud, you just get money, 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 money. And then...
Simoleon. I can't with simoleon. Simoleon?
Simoleon dollars. Oh. And then someone comes in, they're like, you're not allowed to use Rosebud anymore. And you're like, what?
Yes.
But that's the actual game.
And that's life.
And that's how life should be.
There's a tweet in that.
Landlords? Yeah, I reckon that tweet, which is... this is like when you do that Rosebud cheat to get more simoleon dollars.
I would love for you to tweet it and then just watch it go viral. And I'm just sitting in the corner being like, well, showed you. I would say, like, potentially as well, a Queen of the Week could be Charlotte from Sex and the City Season 1. I feel like there's an injustice towards that character because she becomes this, like, prude, I want to get married character so, like, later on down the line. But in Season 1, she was really well balanced. I also think the Queen of the Week could be, who else could it be?
My Queen of the Week is obviously A, whoever they are.
A.
I hope they're out there,
you know what?
Killing
yeah.
it.
I think the Queen of the Week is A, because something really fucking shitty happened to them last week, and they've been nothing but a good sort about it.
Well, we don't know that. Maybe they're on their podcast being like, I wrote the first letter of
could
one
you
of my
imagine,
names for the town.
Could you imagine if you went to the gym and hopped in the sauna and you wouldn't have noticed if someone took your towel?
Yeah, I would have just walked out with their towel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I got
to tell you. But how long would it have taken you to notice?
I would notice immediately. As soon as
did
I
your
came
family
out.
Share towels?
Yeah. Why, did you have your own specific towels?
No,
some
no.
Of yours?
But this is just another, like, you know, how we all grew up differently thing.
Yeah.
But Michael, like, it would be like one towel, a shower in his house. They're just turning through towels. Whereas, and at my family, it was like one towel, four kids. Change the towel every, like, 4 days.
You all dried yourself off with the same towel.
100%.
That's not what I thought.
Yeah. I'd be like, can I have the towel? I'm hopping into the shower. I'd be like, here's the towel. And then like you'd hand the towel over.
Because I try and make one towel last, I think I can make it last like 4 showers.
Yeah.
And by then I'm like, this is
unlistenable.
Yeah, this is unlistenable. What I will say for myself, something good that I've done now is now I'm like, when you go to the gym and you're going to shower at the gym, you look at the towels.
You take
the funkiest towel from home, I mean, so that you will not get it confused. Mm. You take the funkiest towel there is. You take the funkiest, funnest towel. Because what you did to A, your queen of the week.
They don't deserve that.
They don't deserve that at all. Yeah,
that's good. That's actually being a upright citizen.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
An improviser.
So I was just like, I totally instantly went to upright citizen grade after I said it. But then I was like, that is the term, right? An upright citizen.
Yeah. Also, we've been hard on Lord, and you know, she's just a 24-year-old doing her best, so maybe she's the queen of the week as well. Jennifer Coolidge, Emmy Barr's also queen of the week.
It's hard to not, like, I don't think it's punching down because she's so successful. Like, anyone who has like a kind of connection with, like, Kanye?
Yeah.
Remember when she curated the Hunger Games album?
That is so funny. And I was thinking about that because before Drag Race Down Under came out, we were trying to work out which Lord song you did the lip sync to, because she doesn't really have any lip syncy songs. But
they did Greenlight.
They did Greenlight.
And they did Royals as well?
No, they haven't done Royals. They have not done, I don't think so.
Yeah, they definitely did Greenlight. It was odd.
And it was bad. But I actually thought Yellow Flicker Beat would be a good. I think that is a long forgotten song.
How does
that
sound?
Pretty good. Think on this yellow flicker beat down into my arms. This is how it ends.
So does she do that voice?
Thing. Used to hand the city, now they run things.
Oh, Yellow Flicker Beat. That's the one that after the. It was like a single.
Yeah, it was a single ahead of the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Soundtrack. It was track one of that soundtrack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Put yourself first.
What I hated on that soundtrack, she can't be Queen of the Week ever just for making this, but she did a cover of
Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I like that.
I cursed. It's such a good song, and I was like, "This, you just zipped everything that's good about the song away from it." I hate it so much.
I think if I saw her, I would be really, really friendly to her. Like, I think she's talented.
That's awesome, and that's so nice of you.
I think she's like... I think she's lovely. She's sweet. I don't know. It's like, it's hard. But maybe we're just putting too much expectation on her. Fans putting too much expectation on her. Like,
she was such a runaway success.
But was a child.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I was talking to my friend Joseph Moore about.
He actually is my friend. He even lives with me.
which is, like, the things that you can get away with when, like, there's a period of time where you're like, oh, they're doing this, all this amazing stuff. And they're so young.
Yes.
And then there's a point in your life where you turn a certain age, 30, and you're just like, well, they should have achieved that by now. Like, you can no longer be like, and they're so young.
Yeah.
But, like, unless we did, I guess right now, like, you could become a homeowner. You could become, you could have, like, 3 kids at 30, and you'd be like, wow. At 30, you could also probably become, like, a doctor, you know, like, and it would be kind of impressive.
Yes. Shout out
like
to
your life partner.
Shout out to my life partner.
Like, that's impressive to be like,
how old is
a doctor. Sam?
28.
I mean, fuck, a doctor.
Incredible stuff.
So we're just gonna find that thing.
It's so weird, because you're like, on the inside.
I got into a museum at 30. I feel like that kind of works. Like, it's so young
to get in a museum.
To get into a museum.
Yeah, and I mean, that's such not many people do that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna find a few more of those things. To make myself feel good about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's... He won the Fred Award at 32. I still feel young. I still feel like everything that I'm achieving, I'm like...
For my age.
Wow.
No. Everything
and
you're
it's
doing...
it's not true.
It's not true. You're getting it in on the level that you should be
the
doing.
The right level.
Yeah, and you're running at a great
I'm
pace.
Right on the right level.
Yeah, but it's like... You just got to set your heights on something that is like really ambitious to achieve at... 32.
Yeah, but then you're like, Xavier Dolan made 11
even
films.
Open that chapter.
I know.
He's revolting. It can never be the queen of the week for being too successful.
Yeah.
And a model and speaks like English and French.
I was watching, my flatmate's watching It too.
Is he in that? Did he direct that?
It's awful. It's like, he gets like, the opening scene is him and his boyfriend are at the fair and they get beaten up and then he gets thrown in the river and then Pennywise eats his heart.
Queen of the week?
Pennywise. But it just randomly starts with this like homophobic attack, and I really wasn't, the film is 2.5 hours long, so I still saw a lot of it kind of swanning in and out of the lounge. But not enough to know why it needs to start with a homophobic attack.
But then maybe it's like, is he only going to kill straight people? Because that doesn't feel like inclusive.
Yeah, but to kill a gay person who just got beaten up for being gay at a fair.
Yeah, that's fucked. That's toxic.
That's toxic. Pennywise is toxic. Cancelled.
I've been watching walkthroughs of horror mazes. It's a cry for help.
It is amazing what you're diving into in this period of your life. Yeah.
It's fucked. Sex in the City. This is what my life is like. And I've been like, wow, I feel so unbalanced at the moment. And this is why. I've consumed 3 seasons of Sex in the City, and I've watched hours of like random Americans walking through like
horror mazes. Wow.
It's because I did that horror maze in Queenstown.
Yeah.
And it was like genuinely terrifying.
The one in Wellington, so that one originated in Queenstown, right? And then there's a Wellington one, which is like their second franchise.
Have you done it?
No, but it's amazing how you'd be walking down Cuba Street and you're on the opposite side of the road and someone behind the desk is like, hey, want to do a horror? So they really try and...
You're like, I'm going out for dinner. You're in Cuba. Yeah. You're in the wrong location.
They're in a bad, bad location.
Because no one's walking down Cuba Street being like, I feel like a fright.
It should be like next to Bats Theatre.
It shouldn't be in Wellington.
Yeah. Like
Wellington shouldn't have a horror maze. It's like...
Or if it does, it should be like... Witches. It should be a coven. Here's what the reason that I actually chose the fact of the gay, just to shoot back to an hour ago,
yeah,
was because I read an article about all these games designed for girls that like never got released but got publicized and then got pulled at the last minute. They did a game for the Nintendo DS of Clueless. They did a game of Mean Girls and maybe one of Heather's as well. And that this is something you can look at on YouTube. There's a girl who does kind of like, she's done a documentary about what happened. And then also she does a playthrough of the Mean Girls game, which was never released, but she managed to track down a copy of.
They should bring them out now. That'd be such a great way to make money.
Yeah.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What an amazing, sad thing to end this podcast on. But, that, you know, sometimes it ends up positive and sometimes it ends up sad. So let's just actually end on a bit of advice.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli, what's your advice for our listeners this week?
Look at every towel and really think, which one is actually mine?
Great.
Yeah.
And my advice would be close the laptop. Stop watching those horror mazes. It's unbalancing you.
Yeah.
You know what you're watching. Whatever it is, you don't need to watch it at 11 o'clock at night. You can pick up a book and read it. And with that, we bid you adieu.
Please come to my shows. Q Theatre the next couple of nights.
No, enough.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.